Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Alabama, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. Stay tuned. The next 30 minutes might be the most important 30 minutes in your whole life. Our show is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it, as usual, without any manipulation. That simply means we have no hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to ask you to join up to anything. We're just simply here to give you accurate information. And it often surprises me, the different people that I run into that say, I'm listening to your radio show. I'm always encouraged by that. This is a great weekend for us in the history of our country because we're rolling into the 4th of July celebration. We are a free nation, thanks to the grace of God. And the Bible is very clear that no politician can solve our problems because the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. We have a lot of problems as a free America. Some of those problems are political, some are social, some are religious, some are economic, some are military. The odds against us surviving much longer, probably, in my opinion, are not all that great. Because if you look at the trends of history and you gauge the things that are happening in the United States of America today, it doesn't take a genius to see we're in serious trouble. Economically, things are out of proportion. When I went to high school, you could buy a gallon of gas for 25 cents. Now it's about $3.25 for some of the premium gas. I mean, come on, are our kids going to be able to afford a gallon of gas 20 years from now? No way. I mean, they're not going to be able to afford $6 for a gallon of gas. When I went to high school, the nicest homes in Birmingham were $27,000, $28,000. Now you can't even buy a medium-priced home in the Chelsea area without spending $400,000. What, you think your kids are going to be able to afford to buy a house? They're going to be able to afford to buy an automobile, just a simple car, just go buy a simple Ford or a Chevrolet, nothing elaborate, nothing fancy. Think they're going to be able to pay $50,000 for that car? Let's see, how are they going to be able to pay a $10,000 a month house note, a $3,000 a month car note? We're not even talking about insurance, we're not even talking about groceries, not even talking about gas. Economically, America's in trouble. Politically, we're in trouble. It's hard to find a politician with integrity. It's hard to find a politician that will admit that he has faith in Jesus Christ. He's worried about offending someone. It's hard to find a politician that won't talk out of both sides of his mouth. So, who are we going to have to lead our country? Who is going to be the man we trust? You know, all America is setting itself up for that one wonderful leader, they think. This is what the Bible calls the Antichrist. He's going to come on the scene someday, and everybody's going to say all over the world, oh, he's great, oh, he's wonderful. He's what we've been looking for. And he's a liar. He's the man of Satan. But regardless of that, we're in political trouble across America today. We're so fragmented and polarized, and there's so many partisan politics, and these people hate these people, and these people hate these people. It's unbelievable. Is that ever going to change? No, it's going to get worse. Economics will get worse. Politics will get worse. Socially, what's happening socially? Well, disease is rampant. Sexually transmitted disease are rampant. Come on. Divorce is rampant. It doesn't take a genius to see that there's so much racial hatred and strife that we're winding up with a fragmented and polarized society where we're no longer Americans. Now we're this American or that American. I mean, come on. If things keep going like they're going, I don't even know if the United States can survive another 20 or 30 years. The esprit de corps in being an American is gone. This country is falling apart from the inside. And we are beginning to show the threads of wear. We're beginning to show a loss of patience with one another. And that's why the Bible says no man can solve your problem. That's why the Bible says on this 4th of July that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their prayers and I'll heal their land. And the key to what's going on in America today is you, me, believers in Jesus Christ. We must pay attention to our spiritual life. We must be the men or the women that God wants us to be, so that He will bless us and through us bless our nation and sustain it for our future generations of children and grandchildren. Or else I fear that everything so many people have fought and died for and sacrificed for will be lost. It could happen. We've been talking about prayer on our show here on the Flatline. You can pray for your country, but unless the people in your country come to understand some important principles that we've been talking about, the people in my country, come to understand the important principles that we're talking about, I'm afraid that the justice of God will continue to administer discipline on us. We are in for a long road historically to face us. Every nation in the world hates us. You can't go overseas without being hated and despised as being an American. Seems like every day you pick up the paper, there's another country that would like to take us out. We have a lot of self-induced misery. Yes, we do. And we face a lot of testing. But I want you to understand that you are the solution. You're the answer. Your spiritual life will make a difference. And if you ignore your spiritual life, if you ignore your God, if you ignore His word or His mandates, if you don't take time to study to show yourself approved unto God, then you are going to bring more discipline on your country, because as God disciplines you, it will be disciplined by association. On the contrary, if you grow in grace, if you're the man or the woman that God wants you to be and God blesses you, there's blessing by association. You know, God doesn't need a whole lot of people to deliver this nation from the coming adversity. He just needs a core, a pivot of mature believers. Sort of like what Gideon had, only 300. That's all Gideon wound up with in the Bible. And yet God used those 300 to deliver Israel from a Midianite invasion. Now, in regards to prayer, without me rambling on about what I'm covering here, in regards to prayer, God has something to say, and He did it for us in 2 Corinthians 12. I gave you last week some reasons why prayers are not answered, and I want to go a little further with it this week for you. I want to cover some more issues with you on this thing about why prayers are not answered. I've been standing up. Let me take a seat, and I can get more to my notes here. Sometimes when I'm in the recordio, in the studio recording, you stand up. Sometimes you sit down. You're in a room here, and there's all kind of mics and computers, and you're recording these shows for the radio that the announcer will play at a later date. But I want to go through this with you in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is a prayer when you're suffering, and we're suffering in America. Many of you are suffering individually and personally. Listen to what Paul talked about his prayer while he was suffering. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That means he would become arrogant. Because of this thing, I asked the Lord three times that it would be taken away from me. And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weaknesses or infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Now here is the principle of what we're studying. Paul is suffering, but it's not self-induced. You know, a lot of the suffering that we go under is, in fact, self-induced. We don't take care of ourselves physically. We don't take care of ourselves financially. We don't meet our personal responsibilities with our family. A lot of it is self-induced. Probably 90% of the suffering we go through is self-induced. But this is not self-induced suffering. This is momentum testing or evidence testing in Paul's life. See, God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being arrogant. Now, don't confuse your own self-induced misery from a series of bad decisions you made as some sort of divine testing. But if you are suffering because of divine discipline, then all you have to do is rebound. God promises this, that if you will confess the sin, He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to purify you from all of wrongdoing. And if you will do that, God will turn your suffering into blessing. And you know whether or not God is kicking your fanny. You know whether or not God has the hammer on your head. You don't need me to tell you that. I'm simply telling you, if your suffering is because of your disobedience as a believer in Jesus Christ, name it to God, recover it, resume your spiritual life, and He will turn the suffering into blessing. But there are some principles for us to learn in this passage. And one of the very first principles is there's a reason for everything that happens to a Christian. Nothing happens that God has not been aware of. There's always a reason to whatever happens to you. You might not understand it. You might not even like it. There's a reason that God allowed it to happen. So the second principle that we have to learn is Paul, in this passage in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, is asking God to remove his undeserved suffering. But the prayer was not answered. It's undeserved suffering, and Paul wants it removed. And he prayed three times for God to take it away. God did not answer his prayer. You know from last week why God did not answer his prayer. You should remember it. Because that prayer was not in accordance with the will of God. It's one of the 10 reasons why God does not answer prayer. But here's what I want you to see. Very critical principle here. Paul did not need a miracle. He needed to use the doctrine that was already in his soul. He wanted a miracle. He wanted God to take it away. But he already had his miracle. He already had the solution. He already had the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, living inside of him. That's why he eventually said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And he had the Word of God, the written Word of God that he had studied and learned. He even had the mystery doctrine of the church that he taught. He knew these things. And they were the solution to his problem, not a miracle. Unfortunately today, many people seek miracles. Many people think that a miracle is what they need. It's the solution to their problem in their life, and that is not true. You have the solution in your soul if you will use it, if you know the Word of God, if you have acquired the mind of Christ, if you have grown in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praying for a miracle was not the right thing for Paul to do. And his unanswered prayer taught him to use the problem-solving devices in his soul. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient. Listen again. He said unto me, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my grace is sufficient. Is that a problem-solving device? Yes. It's a problem-solving device called grace orientation. You orient to the grace of God. You're saved by grace, you live by grace, you die by grace, and there's even surpassing grace in the future. God had given him all that he needed to handle this test. God said he would not put more on any of us than we can endure. And this was not something that Paul could not endure. The grace was there. What was the grace? It was the filling of the Spirit. It was the Word of God. It was the faith to deal with this. God gave him the grace. And Paul mistakenly wanted a miracle. He wanted it gone. And God was not going to take it away. Because it was the very thing, this thorn in the flesh was the very thing that was, number one, keeping Paul humble, and number two, causing Paul to advance in the plan of God. You see, praying for the sick is not wrong. praying for yourself if you're sick, that's not wrong, no. But remember that prayer was not designed to solve your problems. That was not the original intent of prayer. So when Paul appealed to God and asked God three times to take this thing away, take this thing away, take this thing away, God did not answer the prayer. God would not do it. See, now here's a principle you can remember. Pain causes us to lose focus, doesn't it? When we get to hurting, we want it gone, and we want it gone now. And I'm not sure what Paul was facing here was intense physical pain. He talks about what maybe the thorn in the flesh might have been, because in verse 10 he said, I take pleasure in my infirmities and the reproaches and the necessities and the persecutions. And if I took time to explain what those four words mean, those are basically the thorns that he had in his life. Every place that he went, he was persecuted. Every place that he went, he did without. I mean, he wouldn't even take money. He worked so that people wouldn't accuse him of being a freeloader. And he said that he had adversity on every level, but he never gave in to stress. He never allowed himself to worry or to be afraid. But you see, pain can cause you to lose focus. See, you have a spiritual life and you have a physical life. And your victory comes by living in the spiritual life. If you're born again, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, your spiritual life is the vehicle that empowers your physical life. Your spiritual life is the vehicle that directs your physical life. But when you have physical pain, then in your spiritual life you can lose focus and you want the pain to be gone. I've gone through a lot of pain and you have too. We all have our war stories. But the principle that we need to remember is we do not put prayer before our spiritual life. And you may be confused. You may say, aren't they one and the same? No, 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 no. And you must keep the spiritual life before the prayer. Let me try to put it to you this way. You're not spiritual because you pray. You pray because you're spiritual. A spiritually mature person is not necessarily a person who prays every day. A spiritually mature person is a person who is filled with the Spirit and who has grown in the grace and the knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He functions as an ambassador. He functions as a priest. He gives maximum glorification to God. And he has an effective prayer life. But just having a prayer life doesn't mean you're a spiritual person. Because you pray every day doesn't mean you're spiritual. So, when you grow in your spiritual life, it comes from the intake of the Word of God, not because you pray every day. It comes because you sit under a qualified pastor, and you study to show yourself approved unto God, and you make the application, as Jesus said, you hear and apply. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and keep it. So you grow in grace, you learn, you apply, you glorify God. That's your spiritual life. Your spiritual life does not come because you pray every day. That may be the result of a spiritual life, but that's not how you get a spiritual life. Here's a principle. What God does not remove, He intends for us to resolve in another way. What God does not remove, He intends for us to resolve in another way. Did God remove Paul's thorn in the flesh? No. Did God have another way for him to resolve this problem? Yes. What was the other way? Grace orientation. Problem-solving device. Grace orientation. My grace is sufficient. You have what you need in your soul. Use it. Oftentimes we don't use it, do we? We complain. We whine. We gripe. We want to blame God for our misery, for our unhappiness, for whatever we're going through. Why won't you take it away, God? Why won't you take it away, God? The very thing that was making Paul strong was the thorn in the flesh. Don't forget now, listen. Listen to what he said. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know, this is a strange thing, but the weaker you are, the stronger you are. That's right. You see, when you need the Lord, when you're hurting, when you're weak physically, you're strong spiritually. Because you go to Him, you beseech Him, you beg Him, you're in His presence. But you know, when you're strong physically and you don't really need the Lord, then you're weak spiritually. This is a bad, bad thing to be, but it's the way people operate, isn't it? As long as things are going good, as long as there's money in the bank, as long as you feel great, we don't think about the Lord very much. Then when things go bad, why are you letting this happen to me, God? Make it go away, God. You see, the weaker you are, the closer you're going to go to the Lord. And that's a mystery. That's an enigma. But that's the truth. So what God does not remove, He intends for us to resolve in another way. And that other way is within the framework of the spiritual life. Paul did not need a miracle. He needed God to remind him that grace was sufficient. Now, we live in the church age. That's right now. We're not living in the Old Testament. We're not living in the tribulation. We're not in the millennial reign of Christ. We're in the church. And this is the great power experiment. You will never touch the power of God if you don't straighten out your values spiritually. And if you don't function in a consistent basis with the spiritual skills, you will never touch the power of God. You will never come to understand all of the 39 irrevocable assets that God has given to you. If you don't learn them and use them, and quit wanting a miracle to get things, make things go away, make it easier on me. Your spiritual life is much more powerful than any miracle. Your spiritual life is much more powerful than any miracle. You have everything that Jesus Christ utilized. Remember, He was the God-man. He was undiminished deity, and He was true humanity in one body forever. He's in heaven as a man and as God. He's in a resurrected body. There's no one in heaven in a resurrected body, but Christ is. He's the first fruit, the first resurrection. You'll be there too one day in a resurrection body. But every asset that Jesus Christ used as a man to survive in the devil's world, He left for you. He left you a template. He patterned it. He developed it. It's called the spiritual life, and He passed it on to you. And 2 Peter 2:21 says Jesus Christ left us a pattern for us to follow. It is a pattern. It's called a hupogrammos, a tracing or a template. And if you will use this pattern that Jesus Christ left you, then you can solve these problems that you face in your spiritual life without having to run to God to get a miracle. Now, what are some of the power assets that are available? What has God made available to you? Well, He's given you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the sealing of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the filling of the Holy Spirit. He's given you a completed canon of Scripture. He's given you men that are qualified to be pastor teachers if they learn the languages and they learn how to exegete the Scriptures, men that have the gift. He's given you the mystery doctrine of the church. You're indwelled with Christ. You're indwelled with the Father. All of these are unbelievable assets you have as a Christian that are much more powerful than any short-term miracle that you may want to make your problems go away. Why can't you tap into this power? Why can't you use this power? Why can't you be happy in spite of the circumstances? Because you haven't learned anything. You've been a Christian a long time, and you ought to be teaching other people these things, but you're not. You're still a victim of your circumstances. You're still trapped into this unrealistic concept that prosperity would make me happy. And so if I could just be prosperous, I'd be happy. Wrong. You have everything you need to be happy right now if you'll learn it and apply it and use it. And so the suffering that Paul went through was momentum. It propelled him into being a spiritual giant because he used grace orientation motivated by his personal love for God. Do you love God? I'm going to ask you that again. Do you love God? You say, oh, yeah. I love God. Do you really? Do you second guess God? Here's a verse. If you love me, obey me. And my mandates are not grievous. Well, what are some of the mandates? We study these all the time. If you love me, obey me, and my mandates are not grievous. Is Jesus going to ask you to do something that's too hard? Well, I don't think so. Listen to this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. What is hard about this? It's just a matter of you learning what the Bible says and applying it into your life and giving God maximum glorification. That's the lag principle. Learn, apply, and glorify. Orient and adjust in your life. You're not willing to do it. You're not willing to take the time to learn. You're too busy. You don't have time to listen to the Word of God on a daily basis. You want to get a little bit on Sunday morning and maybe a little shot on Wednesday night if there's a free meal with it. But anything else, I'm too busy. I'm raising a family. I'm working. I don't have time to study the Word of God. I know I'm in my car every morning, but I'm too busy listening to the radio. I'm too busy listening to Feinbaum in the afternoon. I'm too busy listening to JT in the morning on the ERC. Listen, you could be putting in a tape while you're driving. You could be listening to biblical teaching taught clearly and lucidly by qualified men, not some bird on the radio that's trying to sell you his latest book. Because God told me I need to sell this book to you, so I'm going to write a book and tell you how to live your Christian life. I'm going to tell you this. I've told you before. I'm going to tell you again. It's my weakness. I admit it. But stay away from people that sell it. God gave it free. And the men that I know, myself included, we don't sell anything. If you want the Word of God, it's free. So this suffering Paul had propelled him into being a spiritual giant because he had personal love for God, and he trusted God, and he oriented to the grace of God. So the great principle we can learn from this is that suffering might be your friend, not necessarily your enemy. So if God doesn't remove it, then he intends for you to endure it by means of those 10 problem-solving devices. Because if you take out the suffering in your life, you might lose your spiritual momentum. You might lose the very thing that's driving you closer to God. So an effective prayer life is the result of spiritual growth. But it's not the means of spiritual growth. It's the extension of your spiritual growth, not the means of executing your spiritual life. And so Paul said, in weakness, God said, in weakness, my power is glorified or perfected. And Paul said, I will boast in this weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on me. The question is, what is the power of Christ? Maybe we'll have to talk about that next time. I'm running out of time here today. But the question is, what is the power of Christ? Paul said, I want the power of Christ to rest on me. Well, what exactly is it? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can never know the power of Christ. And the greatest invitation I could give to you is to come to Jesus Christ. He has paid for your sin. He has paid the debt. You do not owe God anything. All you have to simply do is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.